yesterday we started a discussion about what exactly was included in that which was given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. And we mentioned the Talmud Yerushalmi that says in a number of places, Kol Masha Talmud Vasik, Asid the Chadesh, everything that is going to come up later on in history with regard to any area of Torah, everything was already given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. So it wasn't just limited to the Aseres HaDibros. It wasn't just the Luchos HaBris, as we know, that were given to Moshe Rabbeinu, but it was much more than that. There was an expansive presentation that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu at the time. But now what I want to focus on a little bit is, there's a great ambiguity with regard to Halacha LeMoshe MiSinai. What exactly do we mean when we say we have a Torah Shebal Peh, and this is Ish Mipi Ish Ad Moshe Rabbeinu? This is traditional, and it goes all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu, but then yet you find that many times in the Gemara, we find psukim that show us a reference to this halacha. So what exactly does that mean, that it came from the Torah itself, but it really is something that came down by way of tradition? And there's a number of ways to look at it. One way to look at it is, later on in history, when Chazal came along and started to use the Yud Gimel Midos, Shehatorah Nedreshes Bohem, we say it every morning in our davening, or at least we're supposed to, in the Rabbi Shmuel Omer, we say the 13 ways in which we have the logic of understanding psukim properly. That's what Rabbi Shmuel is laying out for us. So the Chachamim in the days of the Gemara used that set of logical rules, and that's the way that they used their minds to infer from the psukim and Chumash themselves what exactly the Torah means to teach us. And that's the way the halacha became clear to all of them. Is that the way we understand it, or do we understand, no, that we had Halacha LeMoshe MiSinai that was in tradition from one generation to the next, and they knew this already from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. But later on in history, they figured it was important for them to find some kind of remez in the Torah itself. Not because that's the way that they learned that the halacha is so, but rather because they just wanted to show people that the Torah is so expansive, and all of this really can date back to the Torah itself. But it's not that they waited all those years to figure it out. You'll understand a little more as we go into the shir. So the Maharal has a very important comment, and he says, Yesh lecha ladas ulahavin. You have to understand when we talk about this issue of Torah Shebal Peh and Halacha LeMoshe MiSinai, Ki kol ma shadarshu chachamim min hakasuv. Every time that the chachamim have some kind of limud, some kind of lesson that they learn from a pasuk, lo haya ikur shalamdu ze min hakasuv. It's not that they learned it from the pasuk, rak ki beloze hadavar hu kach lefi das v'seichel hachachamim. This always was the halacha, even before they had that pasuk, even before they had the asmachta, or any other reference to a pasuk, they always knew that this was the halacha. It just came later on, he says, that hadavar hu emes ba'atzmo, this was an absolute truth, rak shi yefshar lo liyiyya nirmaz hadavar hazeh b'kasuv, there's no way that the Torah would not make some sort of inference to this halacha, and therefore he says, since the Torah is tamima v'yesh b'hakol, i'efshe shelo yiyah hadavar nirmaz b'medrash afshehu rachok me'od, and therefore they worked hard to try to find some kind of source to link this back to the words of Chumash themselves. But, says the Maharal, make no mistake, it's not that they weren't sure until that point exactly what the halacha was. They always knew what the halacha was. This is the absolute truth, and they knew it. Ish mipi ish ad Moshe Rabbeinu, and just later on in history, they decided to look back into the original psukim. So now, let's look very carefully. The Malbim has, in his Akdama, on his Sefer on Chumash, Malbim is a very famous commentary on Chumash, so the Malbim writes something that this was a major debate amongst the Zikne Hador. How do we understand exactly what took place with regard to Torah Shebal Peh? How did this develop? What exactly happened? And I find this very fascinating. Number one, because it has to do with our discussion yesterday. Number two, because this really gives us an insight into Chag HaShavuos that we're going to celebrate. What exactly are we celebrating? What were we given at Har Sinai? And what perhaps was developed a little bit later on in history? So writes the Malbim, and I'm going to read from his terminology. He says, HaTorah HaNikres Torah Shebal Peh. We have a whole area of Torah study that we refer to as the Torah Shebal Peh. And says the Malbim, Nismeches Tamid al Mishenes Haksuvim v'Nidreshes Min HaMikros. We all know, says the Malbim, that all of Torah Shebal Peh dates back to some pasuk somewhere. You can always trace it back to some kind of pasuk, either in Chumash or in any other area of Tanakh. Kemosha Yira Kol HaOver al HaPkudim B'Sefer Mechilta Sifra Sifriya Talmud Bavli V'Yerushalmi. Says the Malbim, you look through Chumash, And you might not see it on your own, but if you learn through the Gemara, either the Bavli, or the Yerushalmi, or the Midrashim, the Sefra, Sefri, and Mechilta, you will find that almost on every Pasuk, Chazal learned some halacha from that Pasuk. And therefore he says, all of Torah Shebaal Peh is linked back. However, he says, there's a major dispute exactly how to understand this. Kasher Sha'alnu Lidar, excuse me, Lidar HaRishon, Umizakenim Nisbonan, says the Malbim, we asked our elders, and he doesn't identify who exactly he's referring to, but he says earlier generations had a certain assumption of how exactly this worked. Ra'inu, we see, ki milibam yotziu milim, shehaksuvim hamuvayim l'raya el ha'halachos, hem rak tziyunim v'asmachtos, asher hitzivu lahem tziyonim, v'ikare ha'halachos hayim mukubalos b'yadam ba'al peh. Says the Malbim, earlier generations understood and assumed that all of the halacha l'Moshe Misinai was Torah Shebaal Peh. We knew this to be true because Moshe Rabbeinu taught it to us. And then he says, later on, they just tried to find some kind of trace to a pasuk, not because they needed that to teach what the halacha was, but because they just wanted to find some kind of place in the Torah where we have a hint to the halacha as we know it to be kept today. But he says that earlier generations assumed that all of this really was just based on Torah Shebaal Peh itself, and it wasn't necessarily based on the Psukim and Chumash. And he argues, V'zeh rachok me'od. Says the Malbim, I think that is very difficult to accept such a position. Ki ra'inu shehem shalim tamid. He says, you learn through the Gemara and you find that very often they ask, min halacha? Somebody says a halacha in the Beis Medrash of the Amoraim, and his friend turns to him and he says, how do you know that? And he goes back to respond to his friend by saying, I learned it from this pasuk, I learned it from that pasuk. I have a drasha, I have all kinds of ways that I learned it out from Chumash. So says the Malbim, obviously that means they were sitting in the Beis Medrash, arguing out what the halacha should be, and each one had to bring a proof from a pasuk in Chumash because it was not clear exactly how the halacha should be observed, and that is the way that they came to a conclusion. That is the position of the Malbim, and he attacks those who came before him, although he does not identify who those great Gedolim were that understood against his position. There was a very brilliant Talmud Chacham in Europe by the name of Reb Yitzchak Isaac Halevi, who did a lot of great research on the Shalsheles HaMesorah. What exactly does it mean when we have Torah Shebichsav, Torah Shebaal Peh? He wrote a whole sefer on this, and he passed away in 1914. He actually was very close with Reb Chaim Soloveitchik and with Reb Chaim Moser Grzinski and all the great Gedolim of the generation. He is actually one of the people who is held responsible for starting the Agudas Yisrael movement in Europe already, which was a very important movement then. So he is a very prominent figure, and he did tremendous amounts of research. And what he points out in his sefer is that the Rambam himself seems to weigh in on this very issue. And the Rambam, he writes in his Hakdama to the Pirush HaMishnayos, tells us, we have a category of Torah called HaPirushim HaMukubalim Mipi Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what we refer to as Torah Shebaal Peh. The Peirushim HaMukubalim, that which we have a tradition from Moshe Rabbeinu. And he says, for example, writes the Rambam, we have a mitzvah on Sukkot, Ulakachtam Lachem Pri Eitz Hadar. You have to take an Esrog on Sukkot. Now, the Torah doesn't say an Esrog, the Torah just says, Ulakachtam Lachem Pri Eitz Hadar. Now says the Gemara, how do I know that we mean an Esrog? Maybe it means a pomegranate, maybe it means an apple, many of those fruits are beautiful fruits, maybe it means a banana. So the Gemara has this discussion. How do I know that it means an Esrog? Maybe it means something else. Maybe it means a Rimon. Maybe it means an olive. Maybe it means a date. Maybe it means some other beautiful fruit that you think is beautiful in your generation. So the Gemara asked this question. And the Gemara says, no, pre-Eitz Hadar, we understand to mean an Esrog. How do we know that? Because Hadar means Hadar bi'ilano mishana l'shana. We make a drasha from the pasuk that there's a fruit that stays on the tree from one year till the next, from one harvest till the next, and that is the Esrog. And therefore, it's merumas in the pasuk itself. Secondly, says the Gemara, pre-Eitz Hadar means that you have tam eitzo upirio shave. You have a fruit where the bark of the tree and the fruit itself have the same kind of taste. And that is also somewhere subsumed in that pasuk of pre-Eitz Hadar. We understand it to mean tam eitzo upirio shave, says the Rambam. I don't understand. So we're sitting in the Beis Medrash in the days of the Amoraim fighting about, what are we going to use on Sukkot? An esrog or a pomegranate? Are we going to use a citrus fruit or are we going to use an apple? And everybody has their own idea. And finally, one Amora stands up and he says, you know, I think the right answer is an esrog. Why? Because after all, an esrog is tam etzo peri yeshava. That's what the Torah says. And after all, the esrog is darbi ilana mishana l'shana. And that's what it obviously means when it says pri etz hadar. Said the Rambam, until they had this fight in the Beis Medrash, what were they using? What did Moshe Rabbeinu use? When it came the first sukkahs after Matan Torah, what did he use? A pomegranate? Moshe Rabbeinu used a banana that year? Can't be! So it must be that Moshe Rabbeinu used an esrog, and then Yehoshua ben Nun used an esrog, and then the Shivim Zkenim used esrogim, and everybody who came after them was using the same esrog, and that's what was going on for generations. And all the Tanaim and all the Amoraim used the same thing, and finally they sat down in the Beis Medrash and they said, you know what? Let's try to figure out. We have this practice of using an esrog. Let's see, does the Torah have any way of hinting to us that the esrog is the right thing? We know it's right. We know it's right because Moshe Rabbeinu told us this is the way to do it. We watched Moshe Rabbeinu, or our grandparents or great-grandparents saw Moshe Rabbeinu take the Dalet Minim, that first sukkahs, and he did not use a banana. He did not use something else. He used an esrog. And therefore, it must be that we know it's true regardless of the drasha, that we link it back to the Torah itself. We knew that this was the objective truth anyway. For example, the Rambam writes another case. The Gemara tells us, if somebody takes upon themselves, Hare alai nazir, I want to be a nazir. So I'm not saying that for myself, but the Gemara gives that case, that somebody stands up one day and he says, I want to be a nazir. What is our assumption? A nazir, obviously we know, is not allowed to drink wine, he's not allowed to be metame to a mace, and he's also not allowed to get a haircut. So how long do we assume that his nazirus is going to go on for? He just says, stam, hare alai nazir, I want to be a nazir, but he doesn't say explicitly how long his nazir should last. So the Gemara asks, how long should we assume he's a nazir for? Says the Gemara, stam nazirus shloshim yom. If a person just says a general statement, hare alai nazir, that means he's now going to be a nazir for the next 30 days, and after that, he's no longer considered to be a nazir, he's allowed to get a haircut, and we lift all of the restrictions that we placed on him. Says the Gemara, how do you know that? You know why? Because it says, Kadosh Yiyeh Gadol Pera. When somebody is a Nazir, Kadosh Yiyeh, he should be holy. And Yiyeh is the Gematria 30. It's not just higher mathematics. Yiyeh, two Yuds, two Hays, it's 30. Therefore, says the Gemara, from there we learn Stam Nazir Shloshim Yom. Writes the Rambam. Are you kidding me? Really, is that where we learn the halacha from? Stam Nazir Shloshim Yom, you know? Because you happen to have found in the Pasuk that it equals 30 a Gematria. Really, that's the way you're going to learn the halacha? That can't be. Says the Rambam, it must be. This was a halacha l'Moshe Misinai. And we always knew that Stam Nazir Shloshim Yom. We always knew that this is the way that a Nazir has to observe his time of Nazirus for 30 days. Now the Chachamim came along generations later and they said, look, we know that this is the halacha because this is what we have a tradition from Moshe Rabbeinu. We're not questioning that. But we want to know, if we look back in the Psukim, is there any remez, is there any hint that we can find to prove that this is the halacha? We know it to be true anyway. And if we don't find the remez, it's going to be true regardless, because Moshe Rabbeinu taught us this. They didn't make this up generations later. By the time the Amoraim came around, this was always the case, that if a Nazir stood up and said, I want to be a Nazir, that we assumed he was a Nazir for Shloshim Yom. That's not something that came along later on. That always was the halacha from Moshe Rabbeinu. Take, for example, if you assume that the Malbim is correct, that in future generations, that's when they figured out what the halacha is, you have a major problem. The Gemara Maseches Chulin Daf Chav Zayin says, what is the halacha with regard to shechita? The Torah says when you shecht an animal, when you want to eat an animal, you have to do a mitzvah of shechita, but the Torah doesn't say how you do a shechita. So the Gemara there has a whole detailed discussion. What exactly does shechita mean? Does shechita mean that you take the animal by its neck and you cut the kana and the vesha, the two pipes? That's the way you do a shechita? Or, says the Gemara, maybe it means you take the tail of the animal and you chop off the tail. How do I know what shechita means? So it sounds funny to us because we know the end of the story. We know the Gemara comes to the conclusion that shechita means at the neck. That's what we all know to be true today. But the Gemara develops it and tries to figure out, how do you know it doesn't mean cutting off the tail? And how do you know, says the Gemara, that it doesn't mean cutting off the nose? How do you know all kinds of variations of what a shechita can possibly be? You look at every limb of the animal and you figure out, what can it possibly be? Maybe you cut the legs off, maybe the arms off, maybe the tail, maybe the nose. And the Gemara comes to the conclusion, no, we have a pasuk that teaches us that shechita is obviously min hatzavar. Shechita has to be at the neck of the animal. That is the proper way to do the mitzvah. So the question that you have to ask yourself is, this is when they figured out what shechita was? So I have a question for you. So Moshe Rabbeinu comes down at Har Sinai, and he gives us the mitzvah that we have to shecht an animal before we eat it. Otherwise it's treif, otherwise it's nevela. So you have to shecht an animal before you go ahead and you eat it. And then it wasn't until a few hundred years later, a few, I don't know the history, more than a few hundred years later, a few, 1,000 years later, when you came to the time of the Amoraim, and now they start to get into a discussion, oh, what exactly does Shechita mean? Maybe it means this, maybe it means that. Oh, let's look at the Psukim, let's figure it out. What do you mean? What have you been doing for the last 1,000 years? What did Moshe Rabbeinu do? That night after Kabbalah Satara, I assume Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to have a nice steak. He wanted to eat some beautiful kosher meat. He wanted to celebrate Kabbalah Satara, and he sits down and he does a Shechita. How did he do it? How did he do it? He cut off the tail? Do we have a suffix? We have a machlokas now? How Moshe Rabbeinu did the Shechita? Of course not. So how does the Gemara have this discussion here? How do we define a Shechita? Says the Gemara, maybe Shechita means cutting off the tail. Maybe it means cutting off the nose. What's the Havamina? Moshe Rabbeinu didn't cut off the tail. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't cut off the nose. So how can the Gemara have a suffix? Elamai, it must be like the Rambam says. Everything that we know from Torah Shebaal Peh, we know to be true regardless of whether or not we have a makor for it. Moshe Rabbeinu taught us the halacha. Moshe Rabbeinu did a shechita in his days. Moshe Rabbeinu shook a dalet minim. And we know that when Moshe Rabbeinu took a pri eitz hadar, he didn't take a banana, and he did not take a rimon, he did not take any other fruit, he took an esrog as we know it today, and that's why we do it. I, the Gemara, then goes and learns from a drasha that the esrog is the right min, is the right species that you're supposed to take. I, the Gemara here by Shechita and Chulin Chavzayin, learns that Shechita has to be at the neck. We knew that to be true all along because that's what Moshe Rabbeinu did already in his generation. Moshe Rabbeinu did Shechita that way. Moshe Rabbeinu performed all the mitzvahs that way. And Torah Shebaal Peh is valid and binding whether or not you have a pasuk to prove it. What happened was that later on in the generations, they decided, the Amoraim tried to look back and figure out if the Torah is hafoch ba va hafoch ba dekula ba, if we assume that the Torah is all-encompassing and it has everything in it if you look hard enough, so then, says the Gemara, let's try to figure out where exactly is the remez for this halacha that Moshe Rabbeinu taught us. But that's not to call into question the validity of Moshe Rabbeinu's halacha. We always knew the halacha to be true, regardless of whether or not we would find a pasuk. We knew that to be the case, because that is the way we always did it, and that is the way we always continue to do it. This is really one of the Rambam's Yud Gimel Ikari HaEmunah, that the Rambam says, Zos HaTorah Lo Tehe Mukhlefes. The Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu taught us will never change. The same Esrog that he brought is the Esrog that we use. The same Shechita that he did is the same Shechita that we do. Nothing changes at all. And that's what we mean, Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai U'Mesara LiYehoshua. He gave over not only the Torah Shebichsav, but the Torah Shebaal Peh as well. Did he explain to Yehoshua ben Nun where every single one of that Torah Shebaal Peh can be found? Absolutely not. That happened much later on in history. And that perhaps is also what we meant in the story of Rabbi Kiva yesterday. The Rabbi Kiva saw tilei tilim shel halachos on every tag in the Sefer Torah. It's not that he made up new halachos, but that maybe Rabbi Kiva was able to infer from some of the crowns on top of the letters, maybe this is the way to reference back some of the halacha l'Moshe Misinai that I learned traditionally all the way back to the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. It wasn't made up. Moshe Rabbeinu taught this to Yehoshua ben Nun, gave it to future generations, but all of it can be traced back to the Torah, which is all-encompassing and really has everything that we need to know as practicing Jews, can be traced all the way back to the Torah HaKadosha itself, to the Torah Shebichsav.